Welcome to Songcatcher right here on Radio Adelaide on digital, online, and 101.5 FM. I'm Claire here with Clayton and Adrian. And
hello there.
He has to do that, you know. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello, Adrian.
Hello, Adrian.
And we have this wonderful guest tonight. This is going to be so much fun.
Lots of live music.
Indeed. Tonight's Songcatcher guest is someone who's been associated with traditional music folk scene here in and around Adelaide for many years. But in doing my research, I find that Google tells me that Henk Groot is the name of a famous Dutch footballer.
That's
so
right.
We're going to stop talking about music tonight and just talk about football.
Which sort of football? I thought handball was big in Holland, actually.
I know nothing about Ajax. Dutch football. Can you tell us, Henk?
Yeah, Ajax. This guy comes from the same part of the world as I do, actually.
Holland.
It could even be related. Who knows? But I can't play soccer for nuts.
Okay, well, we better get back to the songwriting then. And you've also brought in a friend with you, Ashley Turner, to play a bit of fiddle in the background.
Yes, indeed.
Or the foreground, I suspect.
The foreground, yeah.
Well, it's part of the joy of this music is being able to sort of backstage, then the foreground, background, and just trying to find the way to enrich the music as much as possible.
Okay, well, why don't we just sort of start off with an example of what you guys do together?
This is a song called 30 Bullets. It was a wet and stormy winter's night. The moon could only shine its light occasionally through gaps between the clouds. But I sat by my fireside with my whiskey and my pipe when above the storm I thought I heard a sound of someone knocking at my door. Someone knocking at my door. I said, who goes there, friend or foe? Who on a night like this might go a knocking on my door? I am a friend, was his reply. You were once a friend of mine, and I paid your debt, bailed you out, so help me and heed my knocking at your door. And heed my knocking at your door. So I opened up and there stood young Ben. I said, you'd better come on in and take food and drink. But then, my boy, you must leave us, for the law was here just yesterday. If we harbour you, they'll make us pay. You're an outlaw, and shelter we can't give you. They'll come a-knocking at our door. They'll come knocking our door. So I fed his horse while he had a feed, deserted him in his hour of need, and it wasn't long before the night it claimed him. And then later on I heard a sound of muffled hooves on muddy ground, and at dawn the sound of guns, and you did slay him. They shot him down by the flat, 30 bullets in his back, 30 bullets like the silver earned by Judas Iscariot. Night, I find myself in the peaceful light. Oh, but I can hear knocking. Oh, I hear knocking at my door. I hear knocking at my door. I hear knocking at my door. Oh, I hear knocking at my door.
Woo! 30 Bullets. And that was Hank and Ashley. Oh, that's sounding good. We got this inkling somewhere, Hank, that you first got into music, into gospel music.
Yes, I did.
When you were a young strapping lad.
I was a very much a born-again Christian, and I learned to play the guitar to do church songs and so forth.
So that was part of the training as a young Christian lad?
It wasn't really, but it was something that I decided to do, and... and it was all cured by a short stay in Amsterdam, as a matter of fact.
I don't know that those details should be gone into in any depth.
This is still early in the evening. So we think that was a long time ago, maybe?
I'd say it was around about somewhere between 69 and 72.
Oh, he was a youngster.
And that was still in Amsterdam. How long after that was it that you came to Australia?
Immediately.
Deported from Amsterdam. I thought that only happened from England.
I got homesick. I'd lived in Australia up till about 1969 and got homesick. My parents were Dutch. And anyway, we don't need to go into details, but... I got homesick for Australia after a couple of years and decided to come back and take my chances.
Well, your parents were musicians too.
Yeah, they were. My mother liked to play the bones, and my father played the accordion.
He played a huge accordion, if I
remember
right.
What, you mean baritone accordion or bass accordion or something?
Big.
He did play one of those Russian accordions, you know, that got like 120 buttons and 400 basses or something.
And you open it up and there's a littler accordion inside it.
If you open them up, you're in trouble. Believe me, I know. I've got the pieces at home to prove it.
Okay. Yeah, just talking before the show, we found out that we were at school together. So that's pretty interesting. Yeah. You were getting into music a bit then when you were at school.
Even as a child of about five, I wanted to be a fiddle player. Actually, there was an old fiddle that I got from my grandfather's place, and it belonged to my great grandfather's brother. And I still have that and play it badly.
I'm not so sure, Hank. I heard some beautiful recording of some beautiful fiddle playing.
I've heard Hank play several instruments, many instruments, and a really fine fiddle player. Really,
yeah, I agree.
Well, I hope the right song's as good, if not better.
So you got into playing or an interest in a traditional side of music from attending your first Port Fairy Folk Festival.
Absolutely,
That kind of spun your head around a bit.
Absolutely. Everything spun my head around at the first Port Fairy I went to. I mean, it was the first time, I believe, that Red Gum played there as a bush band still.
Mm.
And
they were pretty cool in bush band acoustic mode.
Yeah, and it was all good. There was a band there called the Polkaholics. And there was sessions in the pub that were just absolutely brilliant. I just loved it. And I've been hooked on folk music ever since. That doesn't mean I say I've forgotten country or rock and roll, but...
Or Cajun.
Or Cajun, yeah. I think I introduced Richard Tonkin to Cajun. I don't know, I might be wrong about that, but it was very early in the piece. Arthur himself, even. Yeah.
So you took up a few different instruments from getting into...
I kept playing in bands where I was getting the sack as the guitar player, so then I became the banjo player, and then they sacked me as the banjo player because somebody better turned up, so I had to play the fiddle and then...
In the same band?
That was in the same band, it was.
Yeah, so it pays to have a few different instruments, and I've always found there's lots of guitar players out there, but there aren't so many accompanists.
Yeah, yeah, it's accompanying somebody singing is that's a hard job on the guitar. But
and when did mandolin become a thing?
In between the banjo and the fiddle. it was for playing jigs and reel. I got very much into Irish music and I loved it, and I still do to this day. I like all music, but...
They're the ones that you love to play.
I like them all. If I can play it, I will.
So taking up that kind of music, that traditional music from those times, was it just learning all about... all old songs or all traditional songs, or where did you start writing back then as well?
No, I didn't start writing. I was just doing old songs and just digging around in the folk repertoire. And one of the things in bush music I found was the repertoire was very limited. And I would like to think that some of the songs I'm writing could fit in that genre. And the bush band genre.
Well, very limited.
No, that as well, but no. No, so that the, how can I put it? Doesn't matter. It's,
you're going to write songs that people can call and dance to by the
sound? No, not. I have got a song that sort of goes along those sort of lines, but I just want to be able to. So bush bands have got something else to sing rather than Woolloomooloo or...
A new part of the repertoire as such.
Exactly. Or just to augment it, Not to do away with the old, but to do it.
Mm. To add some fresh sounds.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I think it is time for some more music anyway, folks. So, Hank, you've got 30 seconds perhaps to think about what you might play for us and introduce it, I reckon.
Okay. I'd like to do a song, it's about a car crash. It's probably not follows on so well from what I was just saying, but anyway, it is...
And was there a particular weather incident involved in the car crash?
No.
No?
No. You could, I'll leave that up to your imagination.
Can imagine it.
Hank was saying before the show that a lot of his songs come from weather incidents as being the inspiration for them.
So, yes.
Or the first line of the song. But not for this one, apparently.
On the bend of the highway, 19 miles from town, stands a weeping she oak with its leaves all hanging down. And on that she oak tree is nailed a small white wooden cross, right above the flowers that tell the tale of loss of Amanda Brown and her boyfriend Billy. Amanda Brown and her boyfriend Billy. We'll never ever seen anybody there, but if the truth be told, flowers there are always fresh, never more than 2 days old. For 20 years I passed that way, and so it's always been, and a faithful heart still holds them in their dreams. Amanda Brown and her boyfriend Billy. Amanda Brown and her boyfriend Billy. Billy drove a battered ute, drove it hard and fast, into town to see his girl, her parents for to ask. For he was an honest man, his intentions they were true, and he must marry Amanda before the year was through. But her parents, they said no, and it would never do to have their daughter marry the boy that drove that parachute. So Amanda says, I am out of here, can no longer stay. Threw some things into the ute, then they drove away. Amanda Brown and her boyfriend Billy. Amanda Brown and her boyfriend Billy. Guess no one will ever know what happened on that night. Billy failed to take the bend that veered up to the right. Two grieving families now are left to contemplate their loss. Fill that space of flowers underneath that little cross. And the wind is sighing through the she-oaks. And the wind is crying through the she-oaks. And the wind is sighing through the she-oaks, and the wind is crying through the she-oaks, for Amanda Brown and her boyfriend Billy.
Yeah. So that was Amanda and Billy.
It was.
It was Amanda and Billy. Yes. I heard it correctly. So you like to tell a good story in your songwriting?
I try to, yeah. I try to. That's that. Just how it comes out. A balladeer, I guess that would make me, would it? Would that make me the writer or the writer of ballads?
I think for at least the next hour, you can choose your own descriptors, mate.
Yeah,
okay. We're happy with that. If you want to be a balladeer, you can be a balladeer.
Oh, that'll have to do, Pop Pink. Yeah,
I like it. Yeah. Hank's styles are so varied. So he's so eclectic. I wouldn't like to say you're a country musician, you're a folk musician, you're this, you're that. I would say balladeer is lovely. You're a storyteller.
Thank you.
You're a storyteller.
But you also like to write about the places that you live in.
Absolutely. I'm very local. The river, the Murray River, mm-hmm. That's where I live at the moment, in Manham. And I've also, right from the southeast, from basically the Victorian border up to Manham, has been where I've lived most of my life, except for those 2 years in Amsterdam.
So what makes it interesting for you to write about those places?
Because nobody else is very much.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I just, for instance, I was horrified to see the state of the Murray way back in about 2006 and wrote a song called Blue Skies Crying, which was recorded in your old studios, I believe. And Free HD or something or other? 3D?
3D.
3D radio? Hmm.
It's a interesting part of the world, the river, and it certainly back then there was a big drought on. And is that usually the sorts of things that inspire you, or do you look for other things that people aren't
writing
about?
I don't know why, but I had it right in front of my face, right. Every time I looked out the front door, I could see a river that was fast. It used to be right up near to the door, but virtually, and then it ended up being 400 metres away and 2 foot below sea level.
Even at Manham.
That was at Manham. Yeah, the water was 2 foot below sea level there.
That's really...
It was very scary.
Affairs.
And the dust that blew up off the dry swamp bed was basically fish meal.
Wow.
As the dead carp blew. Yeah, anyway, it was, and so I didn't write such a horrendous story about it. Can I do the song about it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think that sounds like a good idea. Just let me get the mic set up and you can perhaps introduce it briefly while I do that.
Okay, well, this is a song that's called Blue Skies Crying. I've been doing it for a long time, so hopefully that'll mean that I won't. The river was right by my door. It don't flow so close no more. You know it's now 400 yards away. And what is left is not so wide. Nearly skip a stone to the other side. Had to shift the pumps again today. And I don't hear the frogs at night. They're silent in the pale moonlight. The swans are gone, the turtles have disappeared. And the pelicans and cormorants do their fishing somewhere else. And I think things are worse than I had feared. Oh, I'm blue, skies crying, my heart is aching for the rain. I'm blue, skies crying, and I wonder will I see it back again. Well, I went to the city to work some more, to pay the bills, you know the score. And what I saw down there you wouldn't believe. There was water, water everywhere. Fountains sprayed it in the air. And the water mains were busting in the street. Now prophet of doom I don't want to be, but I can't see why they can't see the writing that's written on the wall. How are we to carry on when the water is all gone and the river it has given us its all? And I'm blue, skies crying, my heart is aching for the rain. I'm blue, skies crying, and I wonder will I see it back again. The shadow of its former self, it struggles sadly in bad health, cannot even make it to the sea. Oh, I'd cry a river if I could, to see it flow down like it should. But the tears have dried inside of me. I am blue, skies crying, my heart is aching for the rain. I am blue, skies crying, and I wonder will I see the Murray River flow down to the sea again.
Well, you were just listening to Hank and Ashley playing Blue Skies Crying. What a fantastically beautiful song. Heart-wrenching.
Thank you.
And thankfully the river is flowing back out at
I
the
did
moment.
Write a couple of songs about when the water came back too, I'll have you know there, Clayton.
So you painted a pretty vivid description there of what was going on outside your back door,
yeah, or front door.
Front door, whichever way you... What, do you walk? Go out the front door and walk across the river, do you?
We could do.
Yeah, okay.
For a little while there anyway.
I wouldn't do it at the moment.
So, but there was a bit of a... an element of a sort of a protest song in there, trying to wake people up to what was going on?
Well, as it is with all these things, and those who aren't directly involved only get to hear about the consequences of, through the media. And let's face it, it was too scary to let everybody go around worrying about it. So just the people who lived there had to do the worrying.
Mm. Well, I don't know. I mean, the rest of us in Adelaide knew that things were getting pretty tough,
mm-hmm.
and the government was spending a lot of money on a desal plant, and some of us were thinking, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah. Mm.
And do you remember Monday for the Murray? Mondays for the Murray? Do you remember that?
Mm. Yeah. And it was all useful. It was. Nevertheless, it was quite... I was very happy when we got some water back into the river, and I hope that stays that way.
Is it often that sense of I've got something I want to say, if it's despair or anything else of happiness, is that what often drives you to the pen and paper and the guitar and the lyric?
Just to get the in this case it was. Absolutely. I wanted to people to know that things was pretty serious. Very serious in the, everybody is, there's a tendency when a resource like that is threatens to disappear, everybody blames somebody else, but we're all in on the act, you know, we all use water and that's very hard to put it this way. It's not clever to, if you're not supposed to be washing your car, it's not a good thing to do so, even though nobody catches you.
We used to know someone who watered their driveway. You know, that was kind of interesting.
Grow the concrete. Yeah. Would you like to hear a song about the river coming back?
Yeah.
It's up to you.
We didn't practice this, but it'll be all right.
What's this one called, Hank?
It's called the Frog Song. Now some years ago, when our swamp went dry, and I prayed for rain under a clear blue sky, my neighbour said, "Don't worry, Hank, it'll be back." And it is, that's a fact. First the rains came down, then the river rose up. After years of drought, seemed like a change of luck. Now there's happiness in the river shack. There's the bowl, the frogs are back, and they're croaking, croaking, croaking all night long. All the big bad bullfrogs are croaking out a courting song. They make so much noise that they keep me awake at night. But the river is up, so it's all right. Well, the frogs came first, then some ducks came too. Their pelicans flew in from the blue, and some swans they came, honking noisily. There's galahs and kookaburras in the old gum tree, and they're croaking and they're quacking and they're snapping and they're flapping all night long. All the critters in the swamp knocking out a courting song. They make so much noise that they keep me awake at night. But the river is up, it's all right. Years ago, when our swamp went dry, and I prayed for rain under a clear blue sky, my neighbor said, "Don't worry, Hank, it'll be back." And it is, that's a fact. And I've never been so happy to be wrong. That's why I wrote this little song. Hey, the croaking and the quacking and the snapping and the flapping carry on.
'cause you were right, Ted, and I was wrong.
You're listening to Songcatcher on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM, and on Songcatcher we talk to various songwriters about how they do their craft and what inspires them and all that kind of thing. And all the music that you're hearing tonight is coming live from the studios of Radio Adelaide, being played by Henk Groot and Ashley Turner.
And perhaps we've got to revise that old theory of Adelaide about the water being the source of all of the inspiration for songwriting here. Because maybe it's the water that comes from Manham.
Well, there's plenty of musos in Manham.
And good evening to all of you.
Thank you. Yeah.
So have you two played together in various lineups along the way? Or?
Not really. This is a fairly recent thing. I had a very fortuitous... went to the Gov one night and on a Friday night, and Ashley's regular session had been... changed to the Tuesday.
Is this the Irish session or something like that?
The old time fiddling was changed. It had previously been on Friday nights and had been moved to Tuesday nights.
So did you go in with your fiddle?
No. I was there with my guitar to sing some songs, and I said to Ashley, I said, join me. I had no idea if he could play or not.
But luckily, that was enough.
Luckily for me, he could play.
And you... when you play at some of these places like or various pubs around town and stuff, you play on your own, but you also played in bands along the way too, haven't you?
Yeah, the last four have been a bit of a disaster emotionally for me.
The last four bands?
Yes.
Just a struggle with personalities, Henk.
It is. It's the bands are quite difficult. But I must say that, just in my own defence,
because there's three other band members saying the same thing at the moment.
I did play in a band once for 13 years without an argument, and I still get together with those guys occasionally, which is a really nice thing. But they live down at Millicent, so it makes it a bit hard for me.
Is that the one you had to change instruments on a weekly basis?
Yes, yeah. yearly basis.
Every time you go down to Millicent, you have to take a new instrument down to fit in.
I wouldn't say that. But, yeah, but I can fit in a lot of things now, you know.
You've got a bigger bus.
I need it to carry all the instruments.
Okay.
Yeah. What are some of the other bands? Are they all sort of similar in style that you played in? Or?
Not anymore. I left. So there was a really good band. I was very disappointed when we couldn't stick it out. Backwater Band was very good. It was an unusual combination of a rock singer up front, like as in Susie Quattro style of thing, but then singing folk stuff, and plus a violin, double bass and guitar, and good harmonies. Sometimes it was a bit like the Seekers on steroids, but
it could be a band name in itself.
Well, it could be. Unfortunately, I couldn't. I'm jotting
that one down.
Yeah. But it can be harder for singer-songwriters in particular to get airplay just to get gigs, because you're not a dance band, you're not anything, and especially if you write miserable songs, and I've got a bit of a tendency to do that, it's pretty hard to find an audience, or even harder to keep them.
Well, Leonard Cohen seemed to manage, and some of his songs weren't particularly uplifting.
No. Music to Slash Your Wrist By, I was told, but I love him. I think he's absolutely great. I love his stuff.
So there is a way that it can be done, mm-hmm. but I think you have to mix it up a little bit too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, absolutely.
Well, I would have thought the duo combination in a corner of a pub or something on a Sunday afternoon would be very pleasant.
Well, we're going to work at that. Well, we hope to... we've never been to the Wine Tell in Tanunda on Wednesday nights, but that's where we're going this Wednesday.
So what's up there on a Wednesday evening?
Just an open mic. Mm-hmm. And I go to a lot of open mics. One at the Overway in Gawler.
So travelling around for you is not a big deal? Might live in Manham, but getting around is not a big deal?
I got a bed in a van, you know. Like
you travel with somewhere to stay over. And is out of town, like places like Gawler and the Barossa, are they more attractive for you and what you do than the city itself?
Well, there's less hassle parking and so forth.
And more trees for late night stops too.
Well, that as well, yes. I don't know. Maybe once I get, once we get, we might get some more gigs in the city. Who knows?
Who knows?
But you also travel a bit far and wide to play at festivals and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've actually been booked to play in Gulgong for New Year's Eve.
You need to explain.
I think that's in New South Wales somewhere. It's near Dubbo, New South Wales, I believe. It's near Dubbo. I haven't even looked up the map yet. That'll be interesting.
It's not a river town?
I don't know.
Because there are a few rivers out there, so if it's a river town, maybe you'll feel a bit more comfortable at home.
Possibly. I went to... I played at a festival called St. Albans, which is at the head of
the Hawkesbury.
The Hawkesbury. And it was the prettiest place that you can imagine.
But it is a gorgeous place. Actually, if you ever travel to Newcastle, you go the back way. There's a ferry out the back of the Hawkesbury, and you go over to St. Albans.
Yes.
And the drive from St. Albans through the back way is just gorgeous.
Yeah, well, it was a lovely little festival there too, and I had a great time there, as I always do at festivals.
So the man gets around.
Yeah, Hank the good time guy at festivals.
Yeah.
That's what he got from Amsterdam. Eh?
Now, we lined you up to give us a bit of a talk about song, and we're running out of time, so we better get on to the talk about song if you still want to do that.
Yeah, well, the talk about song was going to be a song called The Piper, which is...
Are you going to go out on that one now?
Well, we can go out on something else.
Okay.
And we'll talk about the Piper one because that's the recent one in my memory.
So this is another instrument that you've played?
No. In fact, it's another thing I picked up at my old man's place. And
is that right? So he had it, the pipes as well?
No. Well, he had a chanter. A chanter to learn to play the pipes, which he never did. And neither did I. In fact, I couldn't even get a note out of it. But this fellow... whom I met on this particular night, which is part of the song, he did know he could play, and he could play the pipes, and but he turned. I don't know whether this man is still alive, so I better be careful what I say.
Well, he might sue you if he is still alive. You mean?
He is. And. Anyway, but he's a returned soldier, and he's had a hard time putting his life back together. And I gave him the chanter, thinking that might be of some use to him because it was no use to me. And so he gave me a dog.
Was that a fair swap or what?
It's turned out to be a rather good swap, as a matter of fact. The dog's pretty... she's a lovely thing, really, truly.
Yes, I can vouch for that. And her name is Piper.
And dogs are damn good company, whereas a chanter that you don't have the idea of playing.
Yes.
So this song, The Piper, is about the dog then, is it?
No, it actually turned. It should have been, but I couldn't fit it all in, Adrian. I couldn't fit it all in the whole story. So I just kept it just to the man himself. Shall I play it?
Why not?
It was on a summer's night. Too hot to sleep, too hot to sleep. I sat on my porch to catch the breeze, to catch the breeze. And somewhere down the road a fox was barking, And from the swamp an owl was calling names. And even as the moon arose a-shining, I thought that I could hear a sad refrain. Oh, I thought I heard a piper playing the tune, it echoed through the trees. I heard the flowers of the forest come a-drifting, drifting on the breeze. Come a-drifting, drifting on the breeze. So I walked down that old swamp road in the moonlight, till I came to the abode of the piper and his wife. I said, I heard the pipes a-calling me. He said, well, come on up and take a dram. Then he and I, we had a pleasant evening, swapping tunes and telling stories of the land. But behind his eyes I saw a horror of terrors I could not understand. But I had never been a soldier, not like this man, not like this man. And he said he'd served in Timor and in Afghanistan, but what he'd seen in Rwanda left him troubled, a troubled, troubled man. I walked home in that old swamp road. The moon still up, the moon still up. Wished him fond farewell, and he wished to me good luck. And I left him there to play for fallen comrades, his army mates who he will see no more. I only hope that he defeats the demons that he brought home with him from the wars. And sometimes I hear a piper playing, the tune it echoes through the trees. I hear the flowers of the forest come a-drifting, drifting on the breeze. Come a-drifting, drifting on the breeze.
And you're on Songcatcher, where we talk to local songwriters about how they go about their business. And we really haven't talked much about that, Hank, about how you actually sit down and come up with some of these songs. Do you sit out on the front porch and look across the river, or have you got your own studio at home that you fire
No, I do that. I do exactly that. I sit under the veranda and I watch That's why so many songs about my about bird life on the river, you know.
It's those pelicans again.
Those pelicans, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, we did have a promo from Kelly Menhennett.
Did you?
Was well, it wasn't. She was telling us about
sitting down
on the river, playing a guitar and singing a song and writing some music, and the pelicans coming past, pretending not to look. They weren't really sticky beaking at all. It was very funny.
They're strange birds, aren't they?
Well, you could perhaps tell at me more than I.
No, you'll know. Have to come and watch for yourself.
Oh, there you go. That's an invitation.
I think we'll do the show from Manham one night.
Yeah, that's a backhanded invitation to bring some instruments up and sit on the porch as well, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. Which could be a lot of fun.
So then you try them out at home and then you take them along to an open mic and see how they work? Or
pretty well, yeah. Yeah, I do like the playing in a band and play them in a band sort of a format. And as you say, stick them between the covers of various things depending on where I'm playing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in terms of the band setting, how do you get onto a band setting? Do you have a band or a group of friends
not
that you
yet.
Get together
no,
with?
Not again, I'm bandless at the moment.
A bandless. that could be the name of the new non-band, I think. Bandless.
I don't know what I'd like most. I think I'd like an accordion and a double bass player in it, as well as Ashley playing the fiddle.
So if anybody's interested, just give us a call.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, if you don't play accordion or double bass, but you do think what you do play fits, don't be put off.
No, ask, exactly.
Now you play guitar and make Hank get off the guitar and onto another instrument.
Yeah,
yeah. There you go.
Plenty of room there.
There's still room in the van for another one.
So, Hank, is it usually a lyrical idea that starts you off on your writing?
Yeah, other than the Weber event thing, you know, it is usually. So, and it's just the idea that I have, you know, like, for instance, one of the first songs I ever played in the band that I'd written was called Johnny Cash Knew How I Felt. Now, it was basically a lot of Johnny Cash cliches stuck together to make another song, and which Johnny Cash cliches work really well for that. If you ever want to try it, you go again.
You could write something completely different and not use any of the same lines.
Pretty well. They're all great lines, easily remembered, and which is what makes them very popular, I'm sure.
Mm.
And my stories take a little bit more remembering, I think.
So you're out on your porch.
Yes.
Do you have your guitar in hand when you're thinking about you might write something? Or
mostly.
You have to go back and grab it and get it out?
Yeah.
Or is it pen and paper job?
Both. It's pen and paper, guitar, and then usually try and write it as poetry, line per line, and then try it with the guitar, and then it changes it somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, and if you sing it long enough, it changes and finds its own level. The hard part is not to sound like the last song that you wrote as well, so and so forth.
Yeah, do you make a conscious effort to do something like different from the last one that you wrote?
Sort
of say, I don't want to rehash that, you know, as much as you might have liked the last one that you did. You just don't want to repeat yourself again.
Yes, I have certain things that trigger off my writing, and minor chords, and that A minor shape on guitar seems to trigger something in me. It doesn't matter where I put the capo, though.
But you do put the capo, and that does change it a little bit.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Or I'll play it on... if I've got an idea, a melodic idea, I'll try and play it on different instruments just to see if I can get it to make something else, yeah.
Okay. What about other instruments? Do they ever inspire you to write? Because you've got a few that you have played around with.
I did once write a little waltz on my fiddle for my girlfriend at the time. And which is a nice little tune, but it's nothing to put it this way. It's never been recorded and is unlikely to ever be so.
But you don't find the banjo particularly helpful with your songwriting.
I actually have a banjo.
I know.
But you haven't mentioned...
In fact, I've got three of them.
Yeah, but you haven't mentioned that you write on them.
No, I don't, in actual fact,
You get the song and then you play it as a...
Yeah.
Because somebody...
But that's you've given me an idea there, Adrian, and I might try that. It might turn out completely different.
Well, I'd suggest you have a listen to Songcatcher next week to find out about how banjos work, because we've got the banjo girl in, Taylor Fife.
Oh, okay. You got Taylor coming in. Okay.
So that should be a whole pile of fun.
Now, just she writes some good songs too, I think.
I think she does too, and she writes some of them on banjo. So you might get some
clever
hints on
girl.
That. Before we get the outro song, we've got a few announcements and bits and pieces. And the first of which, Adrian, Thursday, what's happening?
Oh, Thursday at Scala, we have
Ivan and Greg.
Ivan and Greg. Starting up as a duo. There's a couple of spots before, open mic spots before that, but then we have Casey Thompson with Emma Wolcott playing fiddle with that. That'll be magic.
That'll be something to see indeed.
And a band called Plan B.
And we believe they're going to be so atrocious. They're immediately going to be sent to outer purgatory in Cambodia and Mongolia.
And Vietnam, yes. We head off to...
David Robinson, is it?
Yes.
Plan B, yeah. Great singer.
And Adrian Miller.
Oh, right.
So, yes, we head off next Sunday to Vietnam for a month-long tour. So Songcatcher listeners will be very pleased to know that I won't be available. I won't be on for the next 4 weeks.
The Stone Pony
Stone
on Friday.
Stone Pony. Don't want to miss that one, do you?
If you're down south or going to be heading down south on Friday night, Mary Webb and the Baker Suite. That'll be a whole pile of fun. Saturday night, the 17th, the Hegarty's CD launch at the Grace Emily.
We had the Hegarty's on a few weeks ago telling us about that.
And something that's been in my diary for about 2 months or more is 18th on Sunday afternoon, Jen Lush, the Night's Insomnia CD launch.
At the Wheat Chief.
At the Wheat Chief. I think that's going to be a whole pile of fun. And
yeah, so... enjoy all that good music that's happening around Adelaide, and thank you very much to Hink Group for agreeing to come in and be our guest tonight and bringing Ashley Turner in to play along with him. And it's been great to hear some songs from you and hear how you go about writing them.
Thank you very much, Adrian. It was a pleasure to be here.
And
thanks, guys.
Thank you, Claire.
You're going to leave us with
a song called The Pearls. Stands between the cigarette machine and the jukebox, searching for a song to entertain the throng, the Friday night lot. But they at the bar, they don't give a damn for a wannabe singer on a one night stand. They prefer their music from the can. He throws away a pearl. His hair's turned grey and he's dressed in a way that says, up shop chic. If you were to ask, he's living in the past last week. Still he dreams the dream of what could be, of playing places still unseen, of hearing gypsy fiddles scream. And he throws away a pearl. Thank you.
He knows that he's been called, but he's not chosen. And that smile you see on his face is gently frozen. Still he hopes his luck is gonna change, as in his mind the complex rage, and he curses the pains that come with age. And he throws away a pearl. Soon his pearls will be no more but dust upon a barroom floor, unless the strangers by the door pick one up for keeping. And maybe in that stranger's mind, the cast-off pearl will once more shine, reflect the love that's yours and mine, or the sorrow that he's feeling. Between the cigarette machine and the jukebox, he's been outside for a smoke and had a big long toke. It wasn't White Ox. And as the night draws to an end, and this one into the last it blends, his treasure trove of pearls is spent. And he throws away the last.
Thank you, gentlemen.